It is so well defined. What we have to do today, we got to go to work.
We got
to
do.
Hello, everyone. NFL in London. The NFL is in town. It is Wade McElwain and Ryan Call.
It is here.
It's here. In town. Your team.
It's already been here.
Yeah, your team is getting excited. They'll be. I think they're rolling in on Friday, aren't they?
No. I think Thursday. I think.
Okay. Thursday. I thought they were pushing it late. Some of the teams have been pushing it late. If you don't know, folks, we're talking about the Buffalo Bills, Jacksonville Jaguars playing in London this weekend, Tottenham Stadium. Ryan's gonna go. It's gonna end Thanksgiving, so I'll be based in turkeys.
This is all I've been waiting for. Finally, get to see Josh Allen. The man, the myth, the legend. It's going to be fantastic. Great weather. We're going to have great weather.
You're going to see two Josh Allens. Degrees. You get to see two Josh.
Two Josh. That is actually true.
One good, one bad.
Two, and one of them terrorized the other one last time they played.
Yeah, I know, the last time they played. And then, you know, of course, the weather. As you said, the weather's great this weekend. The tube strike is now off, which looks good.
Yep.
Which
it's
is
all coming up Buffalo.
It is all coming up Buffalo.
There's the NFL experience, which is at Battersea C Station.
What?
Saturday. That's where they're doing it.
I have not heard any. This is the first year I haven't heard anything going on in London. It's weird.
Yeah, they're doing it at Battersea C Station. So I might, depending on if it's really nice on Saturday, I might just take the kids down to see what it's like.
Sure.
I got nothing else to do.
Yeah, Battersea is so close to nowhere.
Yeah, I know. That's fine.
Yeah, no, it's it seems weird. Maybe they're putting all the effort into Germany this year. I haven't heard anything, but it's weird. The tube strike on Friday is off, which is nice. So we will update people on that. But we are going to go through the week four games. This is our week four crit. So we go through the week four games. Look at all the horribleness that happened and all the goodness. But we'll start first with the last game, the Jacksonville and Atlanta game. You and I picked this one to be a bit of a stinker. We thought it'd be low scoring. It definitely was, 30 points in total. Atlanta looked horrible in that game.
Yeah.
The games, both the teams didn't look good. The offensive line for Jacksonville is very suspect, but Atlanta just looked horrible.
There's really nothing else to say. I think it's like, it was like every Falcons fan's worst nightmare is just like the continuation of just watching Ritter just not improve. Like he seems like he's getting worse now with each week, you know,
Desmond
starting
2-0.
And he's just been, trust me, I have been there many years watching mediocre quarterbacks, just hoping that they'll figure it out. And again, you got all these weapons, you got Bijan, and they barely even use them in the game. They have Kyle Pitts, and they throw to Jonnu Smith all the time. They have Kyle Pitts, the other tight end. It's just like, what? I don't understand what Arthur Smith's vision for this team is. He's like a run-first team. So you have Bijan, and then you don't want to use him. Everyone thinks they're going to be able to get their quarterback to be this throw it around the yard, but they don't have the weapons to do that. Or if they do, they don't throw it to them. It feels just like, again, just like a wasted opportunity. And then it's like, what do you even do with the Atlanta? Do you keep going with this Arthur Smith offense that seemingly just can't get it together no matter what you do? Or do you just say, listen, we got a good couple pieces. We got Bijan. We got to find us a quarterback because Ritter, he's only got a couple more weeks. And if you're trying to make the playoffs, how is Heinicke worse than this? Like, there's no way. And Heinicke at least has won. He's been to the playoffs. Like, he's at least done something. So if I'm an Atlanta fan, I think you want Ritter to work because you want to have that quarterback. But you got to be able to just pull the chute when it's not working. And I think he's only got one more game left. If he stinks it up this weekend, yikes.
Yeah.
Turkeys, it will be. I'll tell you that.
Turkeys. Canadian turkeys, eh?
Canadian turkeys.
Yeah, okay. As a Bears fan looking what's going on in Atlanta, it's sort of like looking in a mirror. You're like, hey, you're sad like us, except not as bad. Ritter, you know, Fields put on a performance last week. We'll get into that game after. But Ritter, they really struggle to get this pass. The offensive line is horrible. Both offensive lines look bad in this game. You know, the defense were having it. But Atlanta's offensive line is particularly bad. Even if you have Bijan, if you have Cordarrelle Patterson, it doesn't matter. If by the time they take a step towards the line, they're smashed.
You have to have
both
Bijan
offensive lines
these
were absolutely horrible.
Bijan has So yeah, Bijan has to do all these crazy, like you were saying, has to do like seven of these crazy cuts just
yeah,
to get
just to get
like
to the
6 yards.
Just to get
Yeah, a lot
through,
of
you know,
times.
and so you've got to look at that and invest in it. And I mean, you know, the Bears, obviously we've got some issues when it comes to lines as well, but you sort of look at that and go, guys, you really got to focus on this because, you know, you can blame it all on your quarterback, but if he's, it's hard for him to take all the onus when there's no time, you know. You can have a luxury if you've got a good offensive line. You can step back and toss the ball around. He doesn't.
Well, that's what you see him. You see him rushing passes all the time. Or it's just like, he just throws it because he's like, I don't want to get killed.
And how is that to build the confidence of a first-year guy? It's not good. You're like, you know, you're coming in. It's like a gazelle being born in the wild. It's like, here goes a lion. Run, go, go. Like, it's just okay. You're sort of stuck in this whole sort of, you know, how are you going to develop as a quarterback? So, man, that was a tough game to watch. The game we did watch after that, Ryan came to my house. And we watched Buffalo dismantle the Miami Dolphins. The 70-point Dolphins were no match for a Buffalo team that finally starts like they're starting to get things together. James Cook looked good in this game. Josh Allen, very poised. The defense put a lot of pressure on Miami. You know, A-Chain was sort of their only hope. But you know, the good thing that the Buffalo did is they shut down the deep pass. They shut down Tyreek. They shut down Miami hitting that middle open of the field and exploiting it like they always do.
Yeah, it was one of those. Yeah, I couldn't be in public watching this game just in case it went sour, and then I'd be miserable and drunk.
So I'm glad you're public. At my house.
Yeah, so I came to your house.
My dog looking suspiciously. He's not going to hit me.
I can just berate you if there is.
Well, as a Bears fan, I'm used to taking a beating. So yeah.
Listen, it was a great day for the Bills. I think all the hype of the 70, I think, was just getting ridiculous. And I think it just Buffalo wanted to show that we got a good offense too. And they just came out and they just went the first five drives of the game, all touchdowns. It was just back and forth. And it was just felt like whoever could make that first stop and get that two touchdown lead was going to be able to take over the game. And then that's kind of what happened. You know, Buffalo was able to make a stop, get a touchdown, then the fumble, then they were able to get interception because they got Tua off his first read. Mm-hmm. Which is what Tua does. Tua is just like snap, hut, throws it to the first guy. And if you take that away, he holds on to it. And that's where Tua is not dangerous because Tua is not fast. He can't, he's got some good awareness. He's got a great timing, great accuracy. But when the play breaks down, he's not like Josh Allen who can run to the side and then throw a bomb or throw. Like, Tua is just not built that way. So
he doesn't have the size that Josh Allen has if he gets a hit.
Or the speed. Like that's the thing. So he's very rhythm passing. And I think that noise in Buffalo probably threw him off. But my biggest worry if I was a Dolphins, it's just like all the time you hear about Vic Fangio's defenses. And last time, two times Josh Allen's played Vic Fangio, he's put up 96 points on him. So I don't really, I'm
it's
like,
a Fangio
I'm just curious. And I don't think, and it just looked like they couldn't get any real pass rush. There are other like Stephon Diggs just schooled their corner basically.
They didn't even learn. I was wondering about tackling. You know, they forgot how to tackle that Stephon Diggs. I think it was the second touchdown. He just like they just he couldn't even tackle him. He just runs right by them. It was crazy.
Yeah, and it was just almost like this game was inevitable. I think like the hype, whenever we see it, it was like with Buffalo last year. You know, the hype it got out of control, and then it just you fall flat on your face. And I think, again, like how Buffalo got punched in the mouth week one, and now since then it's just been absolutely three straight wins by like 28 points or more, which is just crazy.
It is a little injury to the defense though, which was a bit scary.
Yeah, we did lose Trey White, which is a very just crushing.
It's hurt. It hurts going down the for the long run. You know, obviously when it's you're looking playoffs.
It does, but this team's been without Trey White for like two of the last 3 years, so they've been able to kind of win without him. They've kind of used to playing without him, unfortunately. But the good thing is, you know, Von Miller's coming back this week. Maybe
for London,
he might play,
maybe.
Might not.
Yeah.
Might not. He's practicing now, so we'll see. So that's, again, you're just from that pass rush that's able to put so much pressure is now doing that without Von Miller, now gets to bring in Von Miller. It's going to be scary, especially when they got the Giants next week. It's going to be a feast,
it could
I think,
be a,
for
a
that
feast
one.
After how weak the Giants look. Moving on to our next game, Minnesota didn't look good for Kirk Cousins right off the first He gets a pick six on his own one.
99 yards
runs it back. But Justin Jefferson, two touchdowns. They're able to come back. Carolina almost was able to pip the Bears by getting their first win of the season. They're both the two winless teams. So, Minnesota gets their win. They need it. But, you know, it's still ugly in a 21-13 win. You wonder if, you know, people are always talking about who's going to take Kirk Cousins. You know, if Minnesota's going to get rid of him, why would they get rid of him? But, you know, he still puts up the yards and it's an ugly win, but Minnesota finally gets a win.
Yeah, I can see Cousins on someone like Atlanta next year just because, yeah, I think they're going to move on. So if I'm Minnesota, even though you won that game, I mean, you can't feel like again, that's a terrible Carolina team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it looked like that Cousins game. Yeah, he put up some numbers, throws two to Jefferson, but they can't seem to put away bad teams, let them just kind of hang around. And it just feels like if you're Minnesota right now, you have to think kind of long term where it's like, listen, Cousins is leaving next year. Like, he is gone. There's probably no way they're re-signing him because I don't see why they would. It just doesn't. Is he like? So if I'm them, and you know, we got maybe the next 2 weeks because I think trade deadline's end of October.
Yeah,
I think he's going to get traded. I think it's almost certain because you can at least get something for him. You can get like a second round pick, maybe even a first, depending on who's desperate enough. Why wouldn't you? You'd be crazy not to. So I think right now it's just basically Minnesota is just not a good team. Like, again, they beat an even worse team. So let's see who they play next week. But to me and Carolina, they're now like desperately being like, we need to find receivers. It's like, yeah, you do.
Yeah, but should have gotten rid of one.
And now you got no first round pick to draft one.
So. They got Adam Thielen. Talk about bad teams because we watched my Bears. We had our other friend Ryan here, other Bears fan. We watched this on Red Zone just because I couldn't do it. 28-7 at half, and you think, hey, we got this. We got this. It ends 31-28. Just bad. Fields was looking okay, but you got to look, and I think it's we got a clean house. Everyone's got to get fired.
There's one sequence that just proves it, and it was like something like 4th-and-1 near the end of the game.
Yeah,
they could have kicked the field goal. Mm-hmm. What did they do? They go out there, they try to get them to jump offside.
Yeah,
Bears take a timeout, then they decide to go for it on 4th, get it, and there's the game. It's like every decision in that thing was wrong that Matt Eberflus did. And that is like, that was it. Once you see that, you're like, this guy doesn't know he's doing.
Yeah, no.
Like, anyone who played Madden wouldn't have done that. Like, anyone would have kicked the field goal. Especially, like, they still had the rust. They weren't moving. Like, they were moving up and down. But give your defense a chance. Fields did play better, but it was against a team that gave up 70. So it's like, is that this game change? You know, DJ Moore had a great touchdown catch. That one in the corner was amazing. So it's good to see him get his first. But if I'm, that was nasty. That was just, but again, it's inevitable. Matt Eberflus is not going to be your coach next year. You're just kind of now just waiting to rip the Band-Aid off. Because it might be a bit early. A lot of people don't want to do it this early in the season.
No, of course not. Week 4.
Midway,
no.
But he's going.
It's definitely he's going. And it just as a Bears fan, you're like, hey, we got a lead. But I remember looking and you looked at the other Bears fan and go, we're going to blow this. And we do. Everyone's got to go. Fire sale. Get rid of them all. It's just at this point, the coaching, everything is bad. And you bring in polls. We think, hey, we got a new general manager. Everything's going to be good. It's not good. He's got to go too. Everyone's got to go. Get rid of them all.
Yeah. Well, if you have the first and second round, if you have the first and second pick, it will be the most coveted job in sports.
But it doesn't matter if you still have a horrible coaching team, so we can put them into the same system.
No, but that's what I mean. You can get, you'll be able to attract the best coaches. You can even maybe get, Lincoln Riley, who's Caleb Williams' coach. And just
or get the offensive coordinator from the Lions, who seems to be doing some okay things with them.
Yeah.
I like some of the college
coaches.
Well,
you got to go offensive.
You have to go offensive. And I think the Lions, and if you look at what they've been doing, snag some of them. You start interviewing. Who cares if they're the rival? Grab them. You know, you got to grab some offensive coordinators that are actually have a bit of a more of a mindset to development.
Yeah,
minds of development is not what's happening in Cleveland. Man, tough game for the Browns. Their defense couldn't keep up with Lamar. You know, it was a tough, I mean, it was an ugly game, 28-3. But Lamar Jackson, four touchdowns. You know, Baltimore missing two right receivers, and they still able to put this together. You can see without, you know, Deshaun Watson, how they can sort of struggle to move the ball. Because they look like a different team without him.
Yeah. Yeah, he, again, once I saw Dorian, like, what's his name, was the Robinson or something. Once he was playing quarterback, yeah, you kind of knew this one was going to be over. You know, you can't lose Chubb and Watson and expect to keep up with Lamar. Like, I don't care how good your D is.
Yeah.
Your defense can only do so much. And when you're constantly going three and out and turning it over, it doesn't matter if you are the 85 Bears. You're going to give up 28 to someone like Lamar, especially in a division. So you don't really take much out of this, because it was just one of those ones that kind of, like, if you bet money on this early in the week, you're probably like, oh, God damn it. This is why you don't bet until right before the game, like I always do. I wait and I bet Baltimore. I was just like, I'm going to bet Baltimore because with no Deshaun, no Chubb, like, come on. Like, that's easy money. And yeah, I think, again, I don't take too much out of Cleveland. We'll see next week when they have Deshaun back. And Baltimore, especially after losing to Indy last week, which doesn't seem like such a bad thing anymore now that you've seen what Indy's doing. Indianapolis
with Richardson.
It's not as, like, bad or disrespectful when you're thinking of it when the beginning of the season. So I don't take really much out of this game, because until I see it wasn't really a fair match, to be honest. No.
There's a lot of beat ups so far going in that AFC, sort of in this, you know, in that division in the North and the West. You know, Baltimore and all these guys beating each other up, you know, between Tennessee and everything. It's exhausting on them. You know, it's a beatdown. I think they're hoping for an easy game at some point. But Baltimore looked good. Cleveland is going to have to ride it. That defense didn't look as amazing. And obviously they found ways to get by it. What's not getting by is Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh looks absolutely horrendous. I picked them to get beaten huge in a good way by Houston, and they did. C.J. Stroud is looking amazing. 16 for 30, 306 yards, two touchdowns, 111.3 rating. Man, this is the Houston team. Nothing to lose.
They're the darlings. They're the fun surprise team of the league this year, for sure.
Stroud is exciting to watch. I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of quarterbacks going, hey, you know, Bryce Young and people, and this kid he's got some smarts to him. He can really move the ball around. It's exciting to watch. But Pittsburgh just looked, you know, Kenny Pickett looked bad in this one. Steelers defense, everything was just bad.
Houston
whooped them. Yeah, it was a whooping.
I think we're finally going to see Mike Tomlin's first losing season as a coach, it looks like. I don't see how he's going to be able to stop that, this bleeding. Like, I think Pickett's going to be out for a while, so we're going to the old Trubisky train, baby.
Yeah, bag of bears.
Bringing in Mitch. Yeah. Mitch is coming in. He's going to Geno his career. He's coming back.
Yeah.
I'm going to. So, again, it can't be any worse, but I think you're going to see a lot of again, with Pickett, and it's like, he's going to probably become a disgruntled receiver.
Yeah.
And then Tomlin's got to deal with that again, like he always does. But yeah, I think the thing that surprised me the most was the defense, especially with all those offensive linemen that were missing on Houston, for them to still be able to throw for 300 yards and be able to, I think Damian Pierce got about 80 yards.
Yeah.
Like, they are literally moving it all over the place with no offensive line. So, that to me was either Pittsburgh was just not prepared to play, or Houston is just that much better coached. And it feels like they're just this fun, plucky young team, just ready to just go up against anybody. And they're just like, we don't care. We're going to let our rookie throw it all over the yard. And guys like Nico Hollins, their second round pick, Tank Dell, all these kind of, like, a great draft, like, nailed their draft. And
finally, it only took them a couple decades.
So yeah, exactly. So yeah, there's nothing to say, but Houston's for real, and just a team now that when you thought was an easy win on your schedule at the beginning of the year is now not so much. And that's kind of the fun thing of the NFL, where you're like, oh, that was supposed to be an easy game. You're like, oh shit.
Yeah, right. And you look at the rate, like, you look at CJ Stroud in terms of his passing. I mean, he's up there, man, and you got to feel really good that this guy, I mean, in terms of, you know, yards per attempt, he's averaging, he's like third. He's got like 8 yards per attempt. I think it's just nice to see. And I think it's, as I say, finally that they're able to get it. But it's, they're a team you kind of don't want to face because the defense is stepping up, the offense, and it's not like an easy win anymore. You can't just look at Houston and go, we're going to win this week. It could be tough for us. LA Rams found it tough when they came into the Indianapolis Colts. Colts are favored by one, but it was the Rams, and their wide receivers and the defense steps up in a crazy overtime game, 29-23. Richardson is exciting to watch, but man, it was LA just is finding some ways. Matt Stafford looking, you know, he looked like he was injured. He comes through, goes in the overtime, and throws a touchdown. Man, it was a back and forth game. This one went on forever.
Yeah, because it was like,
Matt Stafford,
was it, like
27-40, 319 yards. Not bad. Anthony Richardson still 2 touchdowns. 98.8 rating. Good.
I mean, it's also the comeback is what he did. And I think that's the most impressive because they were down about 23. It was like 20-23 or something like that.
It was 23. It was 20-0 and then going into half. And then it was 23-8. And then it was 23-23. So, you know, Indianapolis, you know, 23 second quarter points. Oh, they got all their points in the second quarter. So, or second half. Sorry. And, you know, 20 points. So you're looking 20-0. You come back, tie it up, and then lose in overtime. But still pretty emotional. I mean, it was a nice rally by the Colts to try to even it up.
This season's kind of already a win for the Colts. They're already way doing better than expectations. They're playing fun. Like, Richardson looks like he's going to be awesome in a couple of years. Like, really fun.
Jonathan Taylor's coming back, too.
Jonathan Taylor's coming back, and then on the other side, you got Cooper Kupp coming back,
yep.
And you got Puka Nacua still like lighting it up around the league. So then now the Rams can be even more dangerous. Again, another team you thought was going to be garbage at the beginning of the year. Now Stafford's got his favorite weapon back, and now I'm one of my fantasy receivers coming back. So I'm very excited to see the Rams now. Not a great defense, but. And to give up that lead was rough, but you know, Stafford, the good quarterbacks in the end, you know, he's been in these situations. So he did what he did, Stafford. It was a great win by the Rams.
Talking about a team that was feted to be garbage, it is surprising as Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Baker's probably having, you know, a good resurgence here. He's got some good wide receivers in this team. And Tampa puts down a beating on New Orleans, 26-9. I mean, this is, you know, Tom Brady could have hoped for those kind of things because he always struggled against them. But the Bucs were quite dominant in this game. And the Saints, you know, after losing the Packers and that loss last week, I mean, you go from 2-0 to 0-2 in a horrible way. You know, Derek Carr couldn't really do anything. But, you know, Baker has 3 touchdown passes in the game, 246 yards, 1 interception, but it's still 116 rating. And Carr just looked horrible in it.
Yeah, Carr looks bad. He looks shot. Like, this guy is like the king of captain checkdowns over here. Like, if you just want to look at Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara had 13 receptions for 33 yards.
Yeah.
13 for 33. That's like 1 point, like a yard a pass. He wasn't throwing it anywhere. You got Olave. You got Michael Thomas. You got some weapons. It's
bad
just,
old
he
line
just
still
shot.
There too.
It doesn't matter. He looked like this in Las Vegas, and now it looks like he just thought, oh, he needed a change of pace, but he just doesn't have the confidence to throw it down the field. I don't know what it is, but this offense looks broken, whether it's bad coaching.
Yeah.
Because, again, I never really liked this New Orleans coaching. Again, it was defensive coach who's just not being – and that offense has looked bad for the last couple of years now. And the fact that you had to create Taysom Hill just to move the ball – couple years ago just to kind of get this offense going, it just feels like they're just going to ride this car train to the playoffs, probably squeak in maybe the NFC, and then get blown out if they even do. But they got to fix something on offense, because you know, you can't score 9 points against, and then having Baker, who, you're right, looks great, looks like he's having fun again. Mm-hmm. And maybe he was really injured the last couple of years and he's kind of now fully healthy. And just, again, sometimes it's just harder for some. Maybe it just takes a few years. You know, we see it with lots of quarterbacks.
It's also a bit of the mental health of it. Yeah, you know, the mental health of him. You know, none of us would know with the pressure if you're in your 20s and a whole city hates you, you know, like Cleveland, and they all turn on you. You know, that's got to be harsh. And now I think there's a bit more, you know, a little bit of the Florida sun, less pressure. And also having those veterans around him, having a Mike Evans around him, having those guys that you can like rely on. So I'm worried about the Saints because that offensive line, you know, you could see one, the Packers coming back in them. Two, just the way that they just got manhandled. And you're like, if you have no offensive line, why even bother with Kamara? It's not going to help.
Yeah.
It's excitement in Philadelphia as Washington really made this a game, going to overtime. Sam Howell and the guys. Philadelphia, you know, we talked about in the last podcast how they don't seem to be themselves. They're not really on that same zone. But 34 points. I mean, this was a tough game for them to overcome. You know, Washington looked pretty good in this one. But, you know, it was 319 yards for Hurts as well. They were able to move that ball around. Exciting game. But Washington, you know, not horrible as and written off as people think.
No, it was just another one of those weird, like, is Philly good? Or like they're 4-0. But like, I know they're good, but they're supposed to be great. And, you know, Washington just came off losing 37-3 and was able to put up 30 on that Philly D, which is supposed to be one of their strong suits, you know, that defensive line being able to get at Howell. Mm-hmm. So give credit to Washington being able to bounce back. And that last second touchdown, like that's clutch. That's the clutch gene that you want in your quarterback that's able to throw that one at the buzzer. Because most of the time, 90% of the time with guys like Howell who are coming in, do not hit that throw. Do not make that drive. With two seconds left, they screw it up. Look at like Mac Jones, for example. Like so many examples of quarterbacks that get chances to win games and just can't do it. So
Jordan Love,
Again. AJ Brown looked good. He finally had his big breakout bounce back game. And Swift just, you know, still running well. Philly's a good team. It's just weird that their defense just hasn't been as dominant, especially. But again, you know, division games are always weird. They know each other. They played each other millions of times. So it's division games. You know, we'll see. Again, Philly's going to have some tough games coming up. So we'll see when they have that true juggernaut matchup.
It's a good template, too. I think, you know, when people are watching, how do you beat Philadelphia, you know, and having Brian Robinson and the way they were able to use him and just smack that running game into them. You know, I think it shook Philly a bit. I don't know if they were overlooking this game or if they were just looking ahead, but they did seem to struggle in this one. And at times you're like, man, Washington's going to win this one. But they were able to put it together in the end. Who wasn't able to put it together in the end were the Bengals. Another beating, 27-3. By Tennessee. Derrick Henry looking fine in this game. Man, Bengals woes. It's 1-3. Is it time to sort of really start worrying for Joe Burrow and the boys?
Well, I mean, he says now his calf's feeling the best it has in weeks. Now that's what I just read this morning before I came on here. But yeah, it looks grim, man. He's like statistically the worst in almost every single category. I can't throw it down the field. It's inaccurate all over the place. They had like 160 yards again. They got absolutely crushed, you know, and then their poor D is just getting run over by Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's only so much you can do when your offense is just constantly three and out. You know, you've got T. Higgins who's now hurt. So you've lost T. Higgins, which is going to be a problem because they're in this precarious situation because they're going to have to pay Ja'Marr Chase, who's also pissed off.
Yep.
They just paid Joe Burrow all the money in the world. And so they're going to lose Higgins probably after this year. So do they trade him maybe? If the season starts continuing to go off the rails, do you just call it, shut him down, just say this year's a mulligan and let's just start next year trade Higgins?
Yeah.
Well, no, it didn't really matter. You just bench him or you just sit him down, put him on IR, let us heal. So I guess I won't say anything. I'll give it one more week. Yeah. One more week and see how he plays this week. But again, if you don't have Higgins, you're going to have less weapons. So the end of their Mixon doesn't look good. He just looks kind of like he's lost a step. It just doesn't feel like he's anyone you need to really worry about. It's a bit of a mess. And their D's still playing like decent. Again, there's only so much you can do when your offense can't get first downs. So I am worried about Burrow, but again, it's still Joe Burrow. In 8 weeks when they've won like seven straight, we could just be like, and Joe Burrow's balling, we could just be like, yeah, see, he's back.
They could be, but when you're 1-3, it's going to be very difficult. When you have so many other teams. Well, you got a team like Houston. I think Houston would whoop them, you know?
Probably.
You have to look at that. And Tennessee, you know, needed that win. And Derrick Henry needed to finally get back into it. Man, it was it's just rough. And Baltimore, you know, obviously you're rolling along four touchdowns, but it's going to be I think it's going to be very tough moving ahead. How about the Chargers game? Man, this is one of the 9 o'clock slates. Khalil Mack, former Bear, six sacks, tied for second most in a game. Raiders, oh man, did not look good. But you know, they still put up 17 points. It was still a 7 point game here, so it wasn't as easy peasy
because it's the Chargers. It's the Chargers. They always have to make it hard. They even had a moment where they lost. They almost lost the game. Like they just kept giving the Raiders chances and kept getting bailed out. Brandon Staley doing Brandon Staley things. And then you need Justin Herbert to throw like a 50-yard bomb on fourth down to end the game or third down. It just, they're walking on fire. And again, I think the worst thing that could happen to the Chargers is, again, they sneak into the playoffs and they just keep staying out. Or they win a game, or they win a game this year and they keep saying, whatever the scenario is, unless he wins the Super Bowl, you got to get rid of Staley. He's killing this team. And again, they didn't have a lot of weapons. They really only have Keenan Allen. You know, Quentin Johnson's not ready to take it up, and you still don't have Eckler. So, but yeah, Khalil Mack was just a monster. Aiden O'Connell, every time he went back there, just felt like he held on to that ball forever. And he kind of, a lot of those sacks were on him. Sure. But again, it's the Raiders, and they were always going to blow this game. I had no faith that McDaniels was going to bring this amazing comeback. So, but again, Chargers, it was another Chargers game that they could have easily have blown, and we would be laughing at them.
Yeah, no, and they could have blown it. And you look at it, actually. I mean, Herbert was 13 for 24 for 167 yards. Aiden O'Connell was 24 for 39 for 238 yards. I mean, he outgained them by 60 yards. I mean, so you start looking at this and going, ooh. And, you know, I worry about their defense. I mean, the defense was good, but the offensive line protecting them. And the fact that, Josh Jacobs almost, you know, he scores one right near the end of the game, 4 minutes left. They could have lost it. And you could have lost against Vegas. So, you know, there's the coaching is obviously an issue. When you look and you go, what the hell are you thinking? What are you thinking?
Yeah.
What are you thinking when the New England Patriots come and play the Dallas Cowboys in a, you know, I think some of us thought that this game would, Bill Belichick would have some coaching, but it was the Cowboys 38-3 in a romper stomper in this one. Man, Patriots did not look good. It was the Cowboys defense. And it's obviously, I think it was Bill Belichick's worst loss he's ever had.
Yeah, it was.
So 38-3, it was Dallas defense again. Stepping up on this one.
The Patriots are just, they look lost. Again, the Mac Jones gets benched. Again, I think it's over for the Mac Jones era. Mm-hmm. I think you've kind of seen what he is. He's like a relic of the old style of quarterbacks. Like he's like that pocket pay. He would have been great in the 90s, sure. Mac Jones. He would have probably had a great career. But it's new. You got to be able to move. You got to be able to get outside the pocket. Or if you can't do that, you got to be able to just either pick apart like teams. Like it's amazing how drastically he's fallen. He has no weapons. His receivers are terrible. Everyone keeps trying to say like Kendrick Bourne, and they just didn't give him any help. Hunter Henry, Ezekiel Elliott. Like these are not big boy offenses like they're used to. And there's nothing. And Belichick's lost Judon. He lost Christian Gonzalez. And I could see this just being like eventually a tank. Like, I don't know. Belichick's too proud to tank. But I think now his defense has lost two of its best players.
Yeah.
And their offense can't move the ball. What are you going to go to Zappy? Okay. I guess you could maybe make a trade for a quarterback, but why? I just don't. I don't know what their plan is. And it was just Dallas. This is just a beatdown. Yeah, they de-owned it. You know, Mac gave them two touchdowns. It was just easy. It wasn't even hard for them because there was just no punchback. You could just feast on them. You just send them and you're just going to kill them.
The real punchback was Bill Belichick in the press conference afterwards. Angriest I've ever seen him. Surly. You know, why did you pull Mac Jones out in 3 minutes? It's time to go. You know, just he was literally going to choke a kitten. Yeah. And, but 38-3. I mean, Dallas is at the big game, obviously, is Dallas 49ers this Sunday. Ho, ho. Can't wait.
Ooh, baby.
Not stay up for that one. But, man, it was a good, I mean, Dallas needed it, but We're going to see how good they are next week when they play the 49ers. Speaking of 49ers, 49ers come in 35-16. They get the job done. I mean, what really can you say about this? You predicted the score would be 35-17, so you're 1 point off in this one. Brock Purdy, Mr. Consistent. I did love the funny story. I read a thing about him today. You know, obviously he only makes like 800 grand a year, which is tiny for a quarterback, but he drives like a 10-year-old truck. He lives, one of the offensive linemen is his roommate. Like, you know, he just lives deep.
He's like a flat chair.
The old Gronk. But I mean, obviously he's got a low, you know, he's only making 800 grand a year compared to the Joe Burrow salary. So, but the fact is he is consistent. He's duct tape. He gets it done. He saves you when you need it. And it's very difficult to see anyone who could really put a dent in the 49ers at this point because of the way they move the ball using Christian McCaffrey, his smart passing. He's very efficient. So, big win. Arizona puts up 16 garbage points, but Josh Dobbs, he's playing. He's playing for a job, and playing almost better than Kyler. But again, San Fran, what can you say?
I agree. Purdy's looked great. He's just consistent. He just constantly just does what he's told. He does push it down the field. He doesn't make that many mistakes, and they're just such a good team with McCaffrey now, just being able to, like, every time he touches the ball, he's gone like 7-8 yards. It feels he's so dangerous. You know, Ayuk's making all sorts of plays all over the field. They don't even need their defense to be that great right now. They're just so good at what they do. Running and having McCaffrey is one of the best trades they did anyone's done in the last couple of years. So you give him again. Now they play Dallas. Now Purdy's going to go up against a good D that's going to want to get revenge for the playoffs last year as well. So there's going to be all that. So to me, this is the ultimate Purdy game. If he goes out there, does his Purdy thing, like 250, two touchdowns, no picks, then it's going to be really impressive. But this is the one I think that people are also going to be waiting for him to kind of vomit on himself and just have a stinker, because everyone's kind of been waiting for that Brock Purdy stinker, but it hasn't come yet.
It hasn't come. No, he's been consistent enough, and I think it's part of the coaching. This gets it done. 49ers move on 4-0 easy. It wasn't easy for the Kansas City Chiefs because Ariana Grande was in the crowd. Fergie. I was one of the singers. Anyway, Kansas City Chiefs struggle against finally. Zach Wilson looks not bad in his career, but wasn't this the Chiefs maybe overlooking it? Close game. No, I mean, when you're talking about a game that was a 9.5-point spread, Jets keep it within 3. They were down 17-0 in the first quarter. They pour on 12 points. They don't score again in the fourth, but, they sort of screwed up near the end when they're trying to make that final drive. But a tight one for the Chiefs.
Yeah, there's two things that are, one with the infuriating, one very funny. Infuriating thing was when Mahomes knelt at the one, which cost me my bet, which I had that one, that was the last piece of the puzzle for my parlay to hit. And then I watched him running in, and then you saw him kneel, and you're like, God damn it.
Yeah.
So many people must have lost a lot of money on that. So it was the right play, but it pissed me off. Number two was funny is that all the new people, like the Swifties or whatever, that were watching this game think that Zach Wilson's better than Patrick Mahomes, probably.
I mean, we all have seen it over 2 years.
Like, they're watching it being like, why can't we have this Zach Wilson guy on our team instead of Mahomes? Because, again, it kind of made me feel a bit better about the Bills' loss to the Jets as well. Like, they were able to really make Patrick Mahomes' life hell. This is the first time he's been kind of outplayed in a professional game, it said, like in the last, like his career, no one's ever kind of outdueled him in all statistical categories. And Zach Wilson did that. So it's quite amazing that maybe, I think everyone's like, is this the flicker of hope? Like, has the light gone on in Zach Wilson? And who knows? It may have. I think maybe it's because Rodgers was there. And maybe he's a big Taylor Swift fan. He wanted to play. Who knows? But he played well. You got to give Zach Wilson credit. From all the shit he takes, the beatings from the media and everyone, to just be able to do that on when everyone is expecting a blowout, to just go out there and give it your egg. Kudos to him, man. Hopefully he can keep that going the rest of this year and build off of that.
It's very doubtful. I mean, we've all seen this, and I think anyone who's been in an abusive relationship knows that, you know, sometimes they're nice to you, and when you're not getting hit once, it's like, oh my God, it's so nice. It's 2 years. This, You know, like the stats are there to prove it. He's one of the worst. You know, and so when you're looking at comparing him, you know, worse than like a Josh Rosen, you sort of go, what are you doing? Why keep him? Yeah, he has an occasional good game, but you know, he's not going to get you any further. And he could win this week, and then you get blown up by 30 the next week. It's all relying on that defense. Yeah, Kansas City struggled there, and I think that's a good sign for a lot of people going, hey, this is how we keep him in check. A bit worrisome for them, especially getting near the end. Jets should feel okay about themselves. Chiefs, you know, worry about it because you're going to have to face someone bigger and tougher next time. Bigger and tougher is not what the Giants are. They're tiny. They just got destroyed. Seattle Seahawks, who even aren't that great, but the Giants just look like chompas. They got beaten. 24-3. Devin Witherspoon, 97-yard pick. The Seattle defense really stopped them in this one.
What was it, like 10 sacks or something, too? It was just
ridiculous.
It was just, man. The Giants are a mess right now. Again, like it was one of those things last year. It's like
11 sacks.
One of the worst things that happened to the Giants last year is making the playoffs because it made them give Daniel Jones this contract because he kind of had a decent year. And you're like, oh, okay, maybe I think they can get out of it. I don't think it's like this 4 year. Like he's like, I'm sure there's some punishment, but I'm sure it's kind of set up that way. But I don't know. You could just even see Brian Daboll is kind of losing his patience with him. Mm-hmm. And again, their defense isn't really doing much. Their offense can't do anything because, again, you've got no weapons. And if you have no Saquon, you can't get Darren Waller involved. All offseason, everyone was like, Darren Waller's going to change this offense. He can't do anything. He doesn't even get the ball barely. So it's a mess. The Giants are a mess. And until they got to fix that offensive line, until they do that and get a quarterback. So it's like, it's even worse now than because now you got to start over and be like, we got to get a quarterback. Because I can't imagine them going with Daniel Jones next year if it continues to go like this.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was just, I think that's what a lot of people expected. You know, people were surprised. I was surprised when the Giants got the playoff last year. It seemed to be a bit of fortuitousness. But this, I think it's sort of the exposure now. You know, Seattle's 2-1 or 3-1 now, but I mean, they also have their issues as well. So it was sort of a battle of the losers. It was just sort of an ugly Monday night game. But it gets the job done. All right, let's move into week 5. As we all know, Buffalo Bills in town, coming into town this weekend, Jacksonville. Folks, we've also a tail greeter. I've got a cruise going on Sunday before the game, Buffalo Bills Jacksonville cruise. We'll put tickets up on the website, up on our pages as well. If you want to go on the cruise, 4-hour cruise before the game, enjoy the sunshine, have some beers, play some cornhole. We've got that going on. But tonight, Thursday night football, everyone is excited for this matchup. And as a Bears fan, good, I get to get it over with. Chicago Bears are visiting the Washington Commanders, put it very tight in with the Philadelphia Eagles last week. The Commanders, 6-point favorites over the Bears, 44.5 is the over-under, kickoff times 1:15 in the a.m., I'll watch this in the morning. Man.
Al Michaels is going to be on suicide watch during this game.
Yeah.
Just being like, I can't take any more of these Thursday games.
I mean, it's bad enough. You know, you've got like, we spent a lot of money and draft and you trade Chase Claypool. And then it's basically like, we just sent him home.
Well, yeah, he just sent home with
us. Like, and then Jonathan choice. Taylor's like, how do I do that? How do I just get sent home?
Well, because you're good, Jonathan Taylor. That's different.
I mean, and he's like Chase Claypool. I think it's too bad because he's Canadian too. But you sort of get this little what's going on? What's his attitude adjustment? Like he just
is it so... in Chicago or Washington?
It's in Washington. Yeah, in the lovely stadium. The millennial attitude. But you know, Bears coming in 0-4. Washington favored by 6 points, and Washington, as I said, kept it close with Philadelphia. What do you see?
Well, I think it'll be a close. I don't see this being like a beat down or like a blowout because I just don't think Washington's that good of a team. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be able to move the ball because, you know, most teams can move the ball against the Bears. But again, I think Justin Fields did some good stuff, you know, first 300-yard game, get that out of you, you know, and, you know. No, just watch. Teams can put up points on Washington. They haven't been that defense, even though they have a good defensive line, their secondary is suspect. Mm-hmm. They can get beaten definitely down the field. And DJ Moore finally had a big breakout game. Cole Kmet You know, I think the Bears keep it close. I'm going to pick Washington to win just because I think they're the better team. They're at home, so I'll give them that. But I'm going to go 23-20, and I think the Bears could easily pull off maybe a little upset. This could be a sneaky upset, but I'm not betting that. This is a stay away. I wouldn't bet on this game at all either.
Yeah, I'm not going to either. I mean, there's something to look at here that both of them had emotional losses near the end on Sunday. So both a bit motivated, but only 4 days, you know. I don't like a 6-point spread here as well. I don't think the Washington Commanders deserve a 6-point spread. And seeing what the Bears have done, I think we can still maybe get some garbage points. As every points that we pretty much score garbage points at this point. But I'm the same with you. I've got it 24-20, and Chicago would cover it. That's it for this podcast, folks. We're going to do another preview, of course, with a big game going on in London this weekend as the Buffalo Bills play the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bills are favored by 5.5 in that one, but Ryan and I will talk about that 2:30 game, folks. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Make sure you check out our website and social media for all the other fun stuff. Thanks for listening.